Turning our attention now to cross-country skiing in Wisconsin. I love to cross-country ski. It's so much fun. It's a great family activity. We get out to Renee and I get out there with our 7-year-old daughter, Emily, and we cross-country ski. Right now, we can kind of go out our back door because we have Lake Monona frozen over and with a nice little bit of snow on it. So we fiddle around out there and have a great time. But there are probably... I'm sure there are other places that are even better to cross-country ski. And Chad McGrath with us by phone today to talk about it. And by the way, Judith Sears-Poisson, our on-air producer today and our regular producer, great to have her with us. And she'll be taking your calls. When you call in, she'll answer. You can call us at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or email us at talk@wpr.org. If you're thinking about going, wondering about equipment, maybe you're wondering about where to go, maybe you're wondering about the Birkebeiner. Well, those are all questions I think Chad could address. And so give us a call, 1-800-642-1234. Chad's with us by phone. Chad, hi.
Howdy. Nice to talk to you.
Yeah, good to talk to you. And you're, well, you're not cross-country skiing right at the minute, but you're involved in some activity that way over the next few days, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep, actually I was this morning. I've put on about 10K this morning up on the north shore of Lake Superior.
Oh, man, what a place. That's a good place to ski.
Yeah, it is. There's connected trail systems. You can ski for 100 kilometers without ever having to, well, you have to cross a few roads, but you never have to really go into any trail centers or anything like that. If you pack your stuff, you can ski a long way.
Oh, man. What do you like best about it, cross-country skiing?
Oh, I like the fluidity of it. It's sort of a combination of running and dancing, and I just enjoy the movement and, of course, the aerobic, and as you mentioned earlier, the caloric benefits of skiing. We all need to take more of those calories and burn them.
Well, I'm not a great cross-country skier, but I'm okay, and it's amazing to me. You know, our daughter, I think we put her on skis first when she was four, and five again, and six, and she was having, you know, she was doing okay, but this year, when she turned seven, she's a lot taller, we got her a new set of skis, a little bit longer, and she's doing great, and you know, if a seven-year-old can get out there and do it, probably most of us can.
That's right. I have a four-year-old granddaughter who we slap her skis on her boots once in a while, and she just loves it. That's the age to start them, and you don't give them poles, and you just let them have fun on skis. And you also don't drive them too hard. You just let them enjoy themselves.
Yeah, I have to say that when we first started with her, it was I had to be the director, the overseer of Emily, because Renee likes to get out there and go a lot faster, and I like to do that too a little bit, but it was fun just to spend time going a lot more slowly with Emily.
Exactly. Yeah, and sometimes you don't even put your skis on. You just sort of help them down the trail.
Yep, so, that's right.
It's a lot of fun.
Tom in Pulaski has a question for you. Tom, hi. Thank you for calling.
Good morning. I've got an equipment question.
Okay.
I've got some old stuff that I haven't used for quite a while, and I want to start up again, and I've got size 12 boots that require 79-millimeter three-pin bindings.
Okay.
Are those still available, and where?
Wow. You can find them at ski swaps often in the late fall. A lot of the ski clubs around the state will have a ski swap, and people trot out some of their older equipment, and you can probably find them there. And there may be some of the stores might still have some of those back on the shelf, but they're getting pretty rare, might be a little tricky to find them. Or you might put an ad in Silent Sports or one of the other cross-country skier magazine, one of the other periodicals that caters to skiing, cross-country skiing, and somebody might have them.
Okay, thank you for the suggestion.
You're welcome.
All right, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. And you can join in, too, with your questions or comments at 1-800-642-1234. Or you can also email us, and the email address is talk@WPR.org, talk@WPR.org. I have an email, by the way, from Randy in Park Falls. And Randy writes, when the plastic comes off the bottom of my skis, how can I reattach it?
That's called delamination, and basically it's a pretty tough problem. You could try to sand down the ski a little bit underneath between the bottom and the ski itself, and then just use some really good glue and clamp it and try to wipe all of the excess off so it doesn't drag you. And that might work. Problem with skis is there's an incredible amount of torque and weight and twisting that occurs, and once they delaminate, it's pretty tough to fix them. But you could try the sanding and then some glue.
And just to go back to our earlier caller who was wondering about 3-pin bindings, I just went online, backcountry.com. For our earlier caller, is one place, I believe, where you can purchase online.
Okay.
So that's a possibility, at least.
Sure, yeah.
Backcountry.com,
yeah.
One place to go.
What do you use, Larry? Do you have 3-pin or are you using something?
I'm using these. They're not called 3-pin. They're a toe clamp.
Okay, sure, like a Solomon binding or Fisher binding, sure.
Yeah, and those work very well. I'm really happy with them. And
yeah.
I'm not an expert or anything, but I do enjoy getting out with them, and they're easy to put on and easy to take off. So
yeah, and you have a lot more control of your ski than with the old 3-pin, which tends to bend your toe a lot and just doesn't give you as much control.
Yeah, so it's working fine for me at least, and I've got a good pair of boots that are you know, keep me warm. I don't think I paid very much either for them. I can't remember now what I paid. I've had them for a few years, mm-hmm. but they're give me some support and they're warm enough, and I'm happy with them.
Yeah. Do you diagonal stride as opposed to skate ski?
I mostly skate ski.
Oh, okay.
And I've done a little of the other, but I'm mostly going skate skiing. It's fun.
Yeah.
Fun
yeah.
to do. Ken in Conover has a question for you. Hi, Ken.
Hi, how are you doing today?
Great. Thank you for calling.
Yeah. I have a rental cottage in Vilas County, and we're close to Forest County and Iron County, Michigan, and we're surrounded by several cross-country ski trails. And I'd like to attract more skiers. And I was wondering, are there any sites I can link to or places I can advertise?
You have a trail that you groom?
Pardon?
Did I hear you right? Do you groom a trail? Or
No, but in the town I live in, there is a trail that is groomed. And about 15 miles away, there's one that's groomed in the National Forest. And about 20 miles away, we have one that's groomed up in the Ottawa National Forest.
So you'd kind of like to draw people in, and maybe they'll stop and purchase things in town.
Oh, I see.
Yes, well, I've got a rental cottage, and I'd like them to stay there for a couple of days.
Sure. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, you might contact some of the ski sites on the Internet and see if they'd list you, or list those places if they aren't listed. Skinnyski.com, Edelman Ski. I guess what I would do, rather than try to list a whole bunch of places, is if I were you, I'd probably Google or Bing or do one of the search engines and cross country ski Wisconsin, and then find those sites, go to them, and try to get the web guy and see if they can list the places you're most interested in.
All right,
okay, that sounds like a good start. Thank you.
All right, sure. Thanks for calling.
Sure.
Let's go to Bill in West Salem. Let's go to Bill. Hi, Bill. Thank you for calling.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, this is Bill. Yeah, anyway, I'm an old cross-country skier from way up in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sitting here right now with my right leg elevated under three pillows because I have a broken, fractured fractured ankle and a broken fibula. And guess how I did it?
Ski jumping.
You got the message. Anyway, I'm still waiting. If I could do it one-legged, I'd go out there right now, guys. That's how much I love this sport. But anyway, my question to you is this. I have some young grandkids coming up, 5 to 7 to 8 years old. Now, I thought I heard something you're saying that to start them out, do not use poles?
Correct. They don't need poles. They don't know what to do with them. It confuses them, so it's best not to have them use poles.
Just
until
let them follow in your track.
Right. Follow the track, get in a track, whatever. And,
gotcha.
And I also think for young kids, 3, 4 years old, it's best if you don't even have your skis on. Just walk with them and help them, because they're going to fall down a lot, and you're going to need to hold on to them. And
very good. Next question, real quick. Bindings. I got the old 75-millimeter 3 pins, okay?
Sure.
And my question is, are any bindings that are made today where the boot or your shoe will release from that binding, like a downhill ski?
Not that I know of. Not that it's a cross-country ski. There's some Telemark skis, which are basically cross-country, which have that kind of binding release. But I don't know of any for cross-country.
There you go. Thanks, Bill. Thank you very much for calling. Chad McGrath, author of 5 guidebooks, great cross-country ski trails, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Michigan, and Ontario, and Stride and Glide, a guide to Wisconsin's best cross-country ski trails. Our guest, he'll be with us up until 12:30 today here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. So happy to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here, talking about cross-country skiing in Wisconsin with author Chad McGrath of one of his books, Stride and Glide, a guide to Wisconsin's best cross-country ski trails, visiting with him about where's the best place to go. We're talking a lot about equipment on the program for cross-country skiing. Not real expensive equipment, for sure, and usually it'll last quite a long time. We're talking about where to go, and I know we have a question from Jay in Mineral Point about videos, good videos to learn cross-country skiing. Another comment about Devil's Lake State Park. They're only tracking one short loop right now. Why is that? Join in with your questions at 1-800-642-1234. Email talk@WPR.org. We'll be back right after the news. We're talking cross-country skiing in Wisconsin today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here with my guest, author Chad McGrath, who is an expert in cross-country skiing and gear and an author of several books relating to cross-country skiing. Great to have him with us by phone, and thank you for listening in. Questions for Chad, give us a call at 1-800-642-1234 or email at talk@WPR.org. And tell you what, Chad, we're going to go right to the phones here. Jay in Mineral Point's been waiting a long time, so let's go to Jay. Hi, Jay. Thanks for calling.
Hey, I'm an amateur at cross-country skiing, and one day, me and my cross-country skiing friends were joeing, and they started making fun of my skills, and it just ruined the joe mood. So I was wondering if there's any, videos or something I can watch to improve my skiing abilities.
Sure. There's quite a few instructional videos out there, and they break down into basically two types. One is the strict instructional type, where somebody takes you through the various motions and breaks them down and shows you them on the tape. And then the other kind, which is sort of a synopsis of really good skiers from the Olympics or from the World Cup, and it's videos of that with some commentary, and it'll be, you know, different people doing the same type of technique over and over again, and with often to music. And I find the latter one more interesting than the strict instructional ones. But it kind of depends on what you like. Since skiing and cross-country skiing is so physical, a lot of people like to just watch it done well. And if you can just watch it done well and imitate it, that will work. So the next best thing, or maybe even better than a video, is finding somebody who knows how to ski pretty well maybe an instructor, mm-hmm. and go on out and take an hour lesson. They're usually about $25, $30, $40 at the most, and that person can show you an awful lot in that length of time. Videos themselves are available. Sporting goods stores that sell cross-country ski equipment have them, and you can get them online. And again, those two types, you can, whichever one you like the best would probably be the way to go, whatever seems to appeal to you.
Perfect. Thank you very much, Jay, for calling. Good luck with that skiing. Eric in Colfax, it's your turn. Hi, Eric.
Hi. Hey, I'm glad you're on the air. See, I got a question about skiing in a non-groomed trails, basically breaking your own,
sure.
bushwhacking. I have a lot of land, and we're out in a pasture, and there's no way that even a tow behind the snowmobile kind of groomer, I mean, it's cost prohibitive. There's no skating. That seems to be out of the question. And my strategy so far has been, like, stomp it down with the snowshoes first and then try to just, the old-fashioned diagonal thing on it. Is there a better approach?
Well, it sounds like a double whammy in terms of using up calories. You go
yeah.
out and stamp your trail down, and then you ski it. That's great. I guess, if you have a snowmobile, knocking the snow down with it, just making one pass, and then that works pretty well, and you can stride on top of that. That works well. If you want to get a little more elaborate, and I did it at my place, you can get a roller, and you can have one. You can make one if you weld, or you can buy them, and you just weld a piece of culvert with a couple mm-hmm. of sides on it that rotate, and then hook that up to your snowmobile, and you pull that around, and it gives a corrugated lineal track that, although it isn't set like two skis, it's very easy to ski in, and it flattens it out a little better than a snowmobile.
Hmm.
Well, maybe I need to hook up something behind a tractor and run around with that, huh?
Well, it's possible that if
sure.
it isn't too deep, your tractor might work.
There you go. Thanks a lot, Eric, for calling. Jeff in Madison had sent an email, and he says, Devil's Lake State Park was the best for cross-country skiing in the past, but now they're only tracking one short loop. Do you know why that is the case?
Actually, I don't. I know I wrote about Devil's Lake in my first book, in Stride and Glide, which, by the way, is pretty much out of print, pretty hard mm-hmm. to find. A lot of those trails have changed, like Devil's Lake. But I don't know why they're not tracking more than it. It used to be a very enjoyable ski. So I can't answer
it's
that.
It's a cost question or what? Could be a cost.
Could be, yeah.
Linda in Pewaukee, on to you now. Hi, Linda.
Hi.
What's on your mind?
Well, I don't particularly like to be out by myself in the woods, and I like to go with my dog places, dog parks and stuff. Is there a place I could ski that I could take my dog?
Good question. And generally, ski trails are not dog-friendly.
Okay.
Something that I've always sort of disagreed with, because we have sled dogs and we like to run. We like to ski jerk. You get pulled behind a dog on skis mm-hmm. is a real lot of fun. But it's hard to find a place that you can do it. One place I know, which is a long way from Pewaukee, is Mecca Ski Trail up in Mercer, is dog friendly. They don't mind dogs. They encourage dogs. The people who groom the trail have dogs, and so they understand that dogs are fine on a trail and generally won't cause too much trouble. Down your neck of the woods, I can't come up with anything off the top of my head. There are a number of trails in Minnesota that are dog friendly. There's one right near here where I am in Tofte. That's labeled a skier trail. So if you want to go on a trip with your dog, that would certainly work. I guess the only other thing is just kind of going out and breaking trail yourself in mm-hmm. places that are dog friendly. Most state land is dog friendly as long as it isn't groomed.
Okay, that's a good idea.
Yeah,
I get the exercise that way.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah, the dog likes it too.
Yeah,
she does. Yes. All right, thank you.
Thanks, Linda, for calling. Appreciate it. And we had quite a few calls about where to find three-pin bindings, and Judith has posted that up on my Facebook page, so that information's up there. Go to The Larry Mueller Show Facebook page. You don't have to be a member of Facebook to go and look. So just to go on, you can't add anything, but you can certainly look and see what's there. So it's at The Larry Mueller Show Facebook page. Lots of information about those bindings. Let's go to Jim in Merrill next. Jim, hi. Thank you for calling.
Thank you for taking my call. I'm relatively new to cross-country skiing, and I was interested in trying to find some gear, but I don't know what size I need. I'm about 6 foot tall, 200 pounds. What should I be looking for?
Well, it's kind of hard to make a very good prescription for you over the phone, but basically, if you go to a store in the Wausau area or Merrill area and talk to someone who knows about cross country skiing, you know, ask for the clerk who manages that section, but just try to get somebody who indeed does understand skiing, and then they can give you the rules of thumb. One of them is the ski should it used to be it's not as clear anymore, but if you put the ski up and down on the ground, it should, and put your arm up, the tip of it comes to just below your wrist. But that depends on your weight, and it depends on your skill and a lot of other things. So best to go to a good store who sells equipment and talk with them about what you want. And there's introductory packages that are pretty inexpensive, especially in the next few weeks when they're starting to clear things out. Or you can look for equipment that was demonstration equipment at some of the Nordic centers, Winter Park or ABR up in Ironwood. They have equipment that they allow people to actually try out, which is something you might want to do. And then toward the end of the season, they sell that, and it's much less expensive than buying new equipment.
All good.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. And tell you, Tom in Kenosha emailed us. Judith is just letting me know. One of the most scenic places Tom has skied is the Underwood Recreation Area between Merrill and Tomahawk. It's all kettle moraine with ridges, swamps, birch stands, that sort of thing. Have you skied that area?
Yes, I think it's Underdown ski area, and it's where he describes it, north of Merrill, south of Tomahawk.
Underdown.
Underdown,
yeah.
And they have, I think, about 40 to 50 kilometers of trail, and it's striding or a diagonal stride primarily, although I think they do groom some of it for skating now. For people who are listening, skating trails tend to be, they have to be wider because you're in skate skiing, you're splaying your skis sideways, and in striding or diagonal skiing, there's a track. Skating is just a flat groomed surface, but it needs to be about 6 feet wide or you get your skis all tangled up in the deeper snow. So diagonal at Underdown is really excellent. It's a very wild type looking place. You get pretty far away from the trailhead. I got almost lost there when I first started skiing, and it took a lot longer to get done than I thought I would.
All right. Well, Camille in Frankfort, Michigan has a question or comment. Hi, Camille.
Hi. Every time my friends and I go skiing together, we always get into this debate about wax versus no wax. And I wanted to know years ago, for sure, wax skis were definitely better, especially the old wooden ones that were the best ski I ever had. But now things have changed, and I wonder how you feel about the newer skis, what's your opinion about in the debate?
Well, when I diagonal stride these days, I spend about 75% of my time on waxless skis. I just find it more convenient. They aren't quite as fast, but you always get good grip, and you never slide backward. You can climb hills much easier without slipping, and you don't have to think. You just get out there and you ski.
Yeah.
Now, if I want to
go faster or I'm racing or want to do something that like that, then I'll try to figure the wax out and go to that trouble. But if you buy the new waxless skis, the new patterns that make them waxless are quite efficient, and so you don't lose too much glide, and they're fairly fast.
Yeah, fast enough for me, that's for sure. That help you out, Camille?
Yeah, a lot. Thank you.
All right, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. By the way, we finally have some open lines again. We can get you on with your question at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234, or email us at talk@wpr.org. Robert in Munsing, Michigan, says, I'm a National Park Service ranger, and we have exceptional conditions in Munsing, Michigan, and Grand Marais, Michigan, on the shore of Lake Superior.
I have skied those places, and they are really cool places to ski. Talk about wilderness feel. You have real wilderness up there.
Yeah.
And you, just like here on the north shore of Minnesota, you can find wolf track, you find moose track. Just this morning, skiing up this hill, I skied up with a friend who I had met here. He was looking, and we found some wolf tracks, and then we found some deer hide, deer fur in them. So a deer met its end not too far from that trail.
There you go. And it is a beautiful area. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, it is.
Your books, Great Cross Country Ski Trails, and let's just say Zero In on Wisconsin. What all do you tell people what you have in that book?
Well, I skied trails from up on Thunder Bay on the top of Lake Superior. There's several trails there. And then I did all the trails in the watershed, or most of the trails in the watershed of Lake Superior, all the way down the North Shore, around the Superior Corner, and then in Wisconsin and over into the UP of Michigan and up to Houghton Hancock, and then across the UP, and then up into Ontario on the other side, Sault Ste. Marie, Stokely Creek, which is sort of the mecca for a lot of cross-country skiers. You have to get either you park your car and you ski in, or you they'll take you in on a snowmobile too, and then they have like 100 kilometers of trail, and they feed you well, and it's a cool place to go.
So that's all in your book?
That's all in the book. Yeah, there's about 63 trails covered in the book. And that book is, you know, it's probably, well, I think it's about 9 years old now. Mm-hmm. So there are some things in there that probably are off a little bit, but it's around. You can still find it on the shelves. The internet has really taken away the idea of the written book part of guidebooks. So, you know, people who want to ski now can go to the internet, type in stuff where they want to go, and they'll find some really nice up-to-date trail maps. And I highly recommend that as a way of searching for places mm-hmm. to go ski.
Barb and Hayward, on to you. Hi, Barb.
Hi. I was just wondering, I've got the waxless skis, and we put Magic Glide on every once in a while. And I was wondering if you put the Magic Glide on the whole ski or if you eliminate the scale part of the ski.
Okay. Are you using a meltable wax or just a paste?
No, it's not either. It's comes in a bottle, and you just put drops of it on, and you rub it into the ski.
Okay. And it's a glide kind of enhancer?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah. As you can put that on the whole ski. You just don't want to glop up anything on that waxless part, on the fish scale or the part that gives you your grip. So, like, if you're going to wax usually you wax the tips and the tails with a hard wax that you melt on, or you have somebody else do it. And you should do that every once in a while, or your skis will get slower. But you don't put the wax in that kick zone.
Okay, now if I melt the wax on the tips and the tails, I used to do that, and then I had a scraper and I'd scrape it off, but
yeah.
I never had the cork. Do I need a cork?
No, you need to rub it in. To actually get the glide wax on, you need to heat it, and so you need an iron or something like that, and then
right.
you put you put it on, you iron it in, and then you scrape it off with a plastic scraper as thin. You scrape off as much as you can get off, and then you can buff it up and if you want to, and you're ready to go. If you can make it as complicated or as simple as you want. And a lot of people, I think, overthink it. And even if you don't use any glide wax on your tip and your tail, as long as you get grip and you go out there, you'll be able to ski. You just won't ski as fast. You won't glide as far, but it's still skiing.
Yeah.
So I don't necessarily need a cork then to rub it in. I just need the scraper like I used to do.
Yeah. Sure. Once you melt it in, you just scrape it off.
Okay, great. Thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot for calling. And Jim in Wausau, we turn to you now. Hi, Jim.
Hey, how are you, Larry?
Good. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, I just wondered if your guest was familiar with the Nine Mile Ski Area here in Wausau. And you may have mentioned it already. I picked up your show a little bit later, but... that's a great trail. It's really well groomed by the local ski folks here. It has a really nice chalet with a couple of fireplaces and a ski rental store inside.
Yeah, are you familiar with that?
Oh, sure. I used to live in Wausau, so that was my home trail for about 10 years. And, 9 Mile has a lot of kilometers of trail and a nice warming house and nice people, a lot of people I know. And it's a real nice place to ski. And there's some very pleasant beginner loops you can do. And then there's some one of the trails is called the Alps, and that tells you a lot about what it's like.
There you go. Thanks, Jim. Appreciate the call. Ken and Eau Claire emailed us, and for the caller who wanted to ski, and there may be more than one, wanted to ski with the dog, the snowmobile trails in Eau Claire County Forest, those trails are open to skiers with dogs.
Terrific.
Yeah, it's good to know.
Yeah.
And let's see. We've got Bob and Krivitz, I believe, is next. Hi, Bob. Thank you for calling.
Good morning. I was just coming into my cabin, and I heard somebody mention about it, looking for a groomer or building a groomer. I'm retired for quite a while, and I worked for the DNR for a short time, and we had a homemade groomer there that was made about the same principle as a John boat, okay, and a little bit heavier steel, and then there's just a bar that this guy would hook to his tractor, or we hooked it to a snowmobile, and there's 2 1x4 pieces of steel welded to the bottom of this. This was a metal box, okay, and that would set your two ski trails or your tracks, however far apart you set them, and then you just put in the amount of sand that you want to put in there to weight it down, and it works perfect.
Ah.
And it follows a snowmobile just perfect if you have it, again, set up similar to a trailer hitch so you're not pulling it on a chain, so it'll pivot right with you on the snowmobile. So it works terrific, though.
That's a good point about the pivot. You really do need to have a hard connection and not chain, because then it won't follow the snowmobile very well.
No, it sure won't. Thanks, Bob. That's a good tip. Thank you for calling. And Tom in Wausau. Tom, hi.
Hey, good afternoon, Larry. The gentleman that called in on the underdown between Merrill and Tomahawk, there's actually an underwood on the west side of the river, and there's some new trails back in there, I believe. I'm not sure who's maintaining them, but there is another area on the west side of the river. I don't know if you talked about ABR trails up at Hurley Ironwood. Gentleman up there, I just caught a mention of a trail groomer. Those folks have some different designs available. Very nice area for cross-country skiing. Waxing, if you need to buff your skis, if you can just reach for the styrofoam cup, that'll work as an alternative for your cork.
So will the leather palm of your glove.
Yeah, the leather palm of your glove will work as well. Boy, Tom, thank you. We're out of time here, but I appreciate your call and your comments, and certainly. Chad, thank you so much for taking time to be with us today and and talking about cross-country skiing. I know you love to do it, and I appreciate you being with us today.
Well, thanks a lot. It's been very enjoyable.
Oh, thank you. Chad McGrath, author of 5 guidebooks, and tell you what, he knows a lot about cross-country skiing, and he's also a nice guy, and that helps too a lot of times. It helps to have a nice guy on to talk about things like this. Chad McGrath. Tomorrow, we'll be talking with Michelle Reinen to talk about the National Data Privacy Day, and then Joanne Cantor talks about how to use technology without getting overwhelmed. Stay with us on the Ideas Network.